This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, it is important to the church, the believer, and to the mission, to the nations in general. The Lord is the governor of the nations. By his hand, the nations rise and fall. A good, healthy fear of the Lord that moves a person to repentance is needed here. Stay tuned for more on that later. It is Friday, the 22nd day of December, 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Genesis chapter 44, starting at verse 18 through chapter 47, verse 27. Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28, and the New Testament portion is found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through chapter 19, verse 30. Check out the latest articles by The Watchman by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Thy many gods, O America, which one shall save thee? The wolf has consumed a people devoid of understanding. The wolf has lain down beside the lamb, and behold, the innocent have been devoured. Truth has fallen and justice laid bare. The womb of a people has been breached and the sores infected. Birth of the Son of God. The Eudokia, secret that sets men free. It was indeed secret, revelation spoken only by the prophets and through the angelic messengers, heralding in the news, the secret was made known. Howling Change 2017 and Upcoming Prophecy 2018. We can say the improvements in the world is not shaping up, and the prospects of it returning to normalcy is null. This is because of the prophetic time clock and the day and age in which we live. And you can find those articles at www.warn-usa.com or on danaglennsmith.com. You can hear Warn Radio from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Hear us worldwide and on the best app on the planet in the most popular websites. Be sure to subscribe to all shows, to all show podcasts directly from our websites, and find all links on the front page as well. And you can listen to them on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can watch the shows or listen on our warn-usa.com blog and on the front page. Hear us on Google+, Google Play Music, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Vimeo, Apple TV, Android TV, on Google Play, Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices, Samsung TV, Chromecast uses iOS and Android mobile apps, and there's more to come. Get our Remnant Battle Lines app through links on the front of warn-usa.com. And we have three Twitter accounts. Hashtag Watchman IS 216, hashtag Warn Radio or hashtag WGS underscore Watchmen. And now I welcome in the Watchmen for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, here we are on a Friday, and we've got 1 week away, a little more than that, before the end of 2017. But we got this is actually Christmas weekend, and a lot of things are going on. Howbeit, there's, you know, it's kind of hard to tell what kind of celebrations for Christians are going on in Jerusalem because of their Arab mayor all hacked off at Donald Trump.
I think that's so childish.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, you know, Washington continues to be Washington. And the Democrats, you know, they've been fantasizing all day ever since the tax thing was passed that Mueller was going to impeach Trump. And they even had the guests on to say, oh, yeah, he's, you know, he's going to be impeached, all right. And they're all warning that, you know, Donald Trump better not fire Mueller. I mean, we're on a different planet than the Democrats and the liberals. Just totally different.
It's crazy.
You know, they're about as far apart from us as the Muslims are from the Jews and the Christians. I mean, really. So, at any rate, such is life in America. Tonight, we're going to be doing Sound of the Trumpet Part 3, Be Agreed. And Tower and I want to wish you a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Birth of Christ Day, whatever you want to call it. And then there's the new year, and you got 2018. Oh boy, a whole new year to watch the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah. Should be interesting, to say the least.
Well, you know, I've been watching this rerun, you know, every year for years. It's time to put on a different show.
Well, that'd be good. I could handle that.
Yeah. Let's get a Western in here with John Wayne or Jimmy Stewart, you know, or something. Get rid of these knuckleheads. Pelosi needs to go back to California and stick her head in the sand or something. She's as crazy as a loon like the rest of them over there.
Yeah, I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
I
was looking through some news today, and it was just, I mean, it was filthy. It was dirty. It was irritating. It was political. I mean, there's all kinds of articles. And I just got out of it. I don't need to read that. Just pure, unadulterated. And what people are doing, and they put it in as news, is amazing. To give you an example, there was a story of a new thing that they're doing, and I didn't read the article, but they have models of male genitalia that they give kids for sexual education.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah, right on the news page in the picture, they had three little things, you know, you couldn't really see it, you know, but I took their words for it. Didn't read the article, but there was all kinds of pure, unadulterated, just horse manure. I mean, just, you know, and that's the liberals for you. That's this whole system of sex education that I've been talking about for years that's been perverting the kids. So they when they grow up, they have a perverted idea. You know, and then another article's example is Jodie Foster. you know, who came out and said every man over 30 is responsible for all this sexual stuff. Well, of course, everybody knows that Jody is an avowed lesbian and hates men.
Yeah.
So, you know, and her movies aren't that good. So, besides all that, let her go back to her wife or whatever they call her and have her
yeah.
fun. But she doesn't get in the news much. But, you know, they just have all kinds of stuff like this. I mean, I don't need to read this. It's yeah. just manure. It's what I flush down the toilet in the bathroom. It's just not worth it. You want to make sure after you flush it, it's all cleaned out and you get rid of it. And that's what you want to do with the news. You just want to flush it down the toilet and the morons that are writing these stories.
Boy, that's the truth.
You know, because it isn't good for anything. And then the senseless idiocy of the Democrats never ceased to amaze me, even after this thing with Trump. So, who knows, you know. Only God knows. So, at any rate, the liberals, whenever they could write a story to poke Trump in the nose, you know, over all this recent success, you know, they'll do it, and that's what they were putting up today, too. So, that's another reason not to read the news.
Yeah.
You know, there's only certain news that interests me. After that, you can stick it. Stick it where the sun don't shine. That's why I will not have all this regular news on my websites anymore. I'm done with it. I've been done with it. We on Thursdays we do a 1 hour broadcast on the news, and the first part of that is on the persecuted church, and after that, if there's any time left, we'll deal with some of the important news, but we're not going to spend it talking about a lot of this moronic stuff that seems to make everybody so happy in their own little world. And everybody's in their own little world, you see, including Alex Jones. They're all in their own little world doing their thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so at any rate, we're going to get into this right now. So,
okay, well, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We are in Amos chapter 3, 1 through 8. This is real. I mean, you can apply this to Christians. You know, you can take this stuff out of the Tanakh, out of the Torah. You know, and that's basically what the apostles did. And matter of fact, that's what the Lord did. And we've gone through a lot of stuff like that. And that's why the churches today that throw out the Old Testament are about as full of it as some of these liberals. You can't get rid of the Bible that Jesus taught out of and read, or the apostles. You do that and you're going to be off base. So, verse 1 of Amos chapter 3. Hear the word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Now, see, this is Amos, of course, speaking. And now, you know, of course, after Solomon, there was two houses. The house of Israel, which were the northern tribes, 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, which was Judah, Benjamin, and then the Levites went with them. That was because, as I've said before, Israel, led by Solomon, sinned against the Lord. And it says quite plainly in there that his wives led him astray. But the Jews actually teach that Solomon repented after that, and that he never did, you know, he did not wind up in hell for his sins. But there's nothing in Scripture to back that up. That's just what the Jews teach, the rabbis have taught. He says, Amos says of the Lord speaking, you only have I known of all the families on earth. Therefore I'll punish you for your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, these three verses are about as important as you can get, including to the church. Whenever the Lord says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, or O church, just like Peter said, judgment will begin at the house of God. Then if we who are saved barely survive, what were the sinners and the ungodly stand? See, this is all in the same aspect, judgment. And here in verse 2, it clearly lines out that the Lord had chosen Israel of all the families on earth. And because they had, although he brought them out of the land of Egypt, he's going to punish them. Why? For their iniquities. And that, again, reminds us of Peter that says judgment will begin at the house of God. And the judgment begins at the house of God because of the sins and iniquity in the church. Paul reminded us many times, the other apostles did too. You know, Paul in one verse said, you know, those that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, referring to a list of sins of the flesh. And it's that simple. But in America, it's not that simple because we have people that are in the church, including one I read about, a priest who got up and was preaching a sermon and declared that he was gay. And so he was going to continue to be a preacher and be gay. And we have a lot of stuff like that. You know, the bottom line of it is that we are living in that time period when, and this, of course, comes out of Psalm 2, among other places, where the nations of men want to cast off the bonds of God. That's the laws and the statutes that he laid down. For the Lord himself said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So those of you in the Christian church today who are celebrating because God threw out the law, he never threw out the law. There's nothing in the word that says he threw out the law. Paul even says the law is good. Now, of course, all the Christians in America and their teachers and preachers and all the rest of them like to say is, well, you're not saved by the law. You're not going to be justified by the law. Yeah, that's true. The law was never meant for that. The law is there to convict us. After that, it's the Lord that you have to seek. But see, the thing of it here is Amos asks, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, they can't. Even in America, we are divided. And whenever we want to get things done in Washington, we expect the Democrats and the Republicans to get together. But see, they'll never get together because they don't agree on anything. And especially with Trump up there, they really don't agree. And in America, you're not going to have any kind of an agreement because you have people that actually want communism, and there's the rest of the people that don't want communism and would like to have America the way it used to be. So even in America, you know, in the natural circumstances, we do not walk together. We can't walk together because we're not agreed on anything. Matter of fact, this is all leading up to civil war and more trouble than you could ever shake a stick at. But the bottom line of it is that Amos is warning Israel. And then he goes in and he asks a series of questions, and I'll just go through them. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of the den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin for him is? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Now, see, all those questions are no. A lion is not going to roar in a forest, you know, if he has no prey. A young lion isn't going to cry out if he has taken nothing. You know, a young lion, if he has something, he's going to be eating it. A bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is, that's what a gin is. You can't fall in a trap if there is no trap. Get the hint? Okay. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? No, because if you're going to take up a snare, you're going to make sure that you have something, or you're going to leave the snare alone. So all of these are questions that the prophet asks, and of course it refers to Israel. No, Israel, you can't walk together with the Lord your God because you do not agree with him. You do not abide by him. You do not do what he says. Now, let's fast forward, church. No, you can't walk together with the Lord God unless you're agreed with him and you do those things which he says. And if you pull away from him, if you say that, you know, for instance, we were talking about this last night, that Jesus Christ has no father. And if you walk the perfunctory tone of many of the Muslims, especially Erdogan, who is openly hostile to Christians and Jews. And I have a thing that I'm going to be covering next week in our part two of our global prophecy thing, and I'll be talking about that more. Because we are going to run into massive war and death. And the bottom line of it is the world is not agreed. The world is not agreed with themselves. The world is not agreed with the Lord God. The Lord is going to judge the world. He's going to judge the church. This is the time of judgment, the end of days. And it's time for Christians, you know, as Isaiah was told to say, tell the righteous that it shall be well with him, for he shall eat the fruits of his doing. And then here's another part of this, and verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, but who can but prophesy? Now that's a good title of a book, The Lion That Roared. And speaking prophetically, the Lord God has spoken. When the Lord God, and we find this also in Jeremiah and many other places, when you talk about the word that's given by the Lord to the prophets and to those who have his word, let him speak his word. And the Lord God is not going to do anything except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The prophets then relay the word to the priests and the rest of those in the chain. But the prophet is directly lined up next to the Lord God as being his voice. That's the Old Testament prophets. Now, of course, in the church today, we have the office, various offices. We have also the gifts of the Spirit of prophecy. But these are not the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament Jewish prophets, you know, the word of the Lord says about that, you shall fear the Lord and the prophets. Because the Old Testament prophets wouldn't mess with you. You got in their way, you messed around, you're going to get in trouble. It just was serious. You didn't mess with them. So the church really has not seen in America the true judgment of God. If we would have had events like Ananias and Sapphira, then we'd had a lot of trouble from the government in our churches. You see, you can't have people dying in your church service without problems. And, of course, Ananias and Sapphira died the same night because they lied to the Holy Ghost, and Peter was there and told them so, and they dropped dead. And then, of course, the elders just simply carried them out. Who knows where they put them? Just set them outside the church, and you know, who knows? But you see, what we're saying here is when we begin to talk about the sound of the trumpet and the Old Testament prophets and the judgment that came, it was serious business. And that means that when you hear that trumpet blowing in the city, that means you've got an enemy outside the gates. And from the standpoint of the children of Israel, what you have is a major problem. Because when you see that, you see Israel had this relationship with the Lord God that if they would walk in his ways, God would protect them and they would defeat it. Now, David, the warrior king, defeated all the enemies and made it possible for his son Solomon to build the temple and live in peace and be at the peak zenith in Israel. That was the zenith time for Israel during the time of Solomon. Nevertheless, when Israel began to deal themselves a new deck away from the Lord God, both Judah and the northern tribe Israel, they both were overrun. The northern tribes first, and then Judah. Judah was spoken to by Jeremiah for many, many years, and then they were carried captive into Babylon. So this is, you know, if you were in the city at that time, and there was a trumpet that went off, you would know very well that the words that Jeremiah had been telling you had come true. He had told him from the beginning that it would be Babylon. And he told that to the king, he told that to the high priest, told that to the prophets that didn't believe him. Yes, there was prophets that were Jewish prophets that were in Judah at the time that didn't believe Jeremiah. What we have is, you talk about the Christian church having false prophets and false teachers. The Jews do too. The Jews have always had that. And just because you're a Jew and you know the law and you follow that doesn't mean you know all the truth. You don't know all the truth because history is rife with the Jews falling on the wrong side of the Lord. Although they were the first ones that the Lord knew, they're definitely not the last. And from the beginning we have taught and we have shown you in Scripture, even in the Torah, that God has always accounted the Gentiles, you know, those outside of Israel, as people that he would consider to come in. He had always made an effort to win them. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13 through 19, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, now see, the Lord, the word of God says, let everything be done with two or three witnesses. And the law specifically states two or three witnesses to verify every word. And so when the Lord begins to send you the word the second time, that means business. That means this is important. What seest thou? He says to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every man, every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, see, this is what was happening in Judah. Judah should have been the voice of the Lord God. They had the prophets there, they had the priests there, they had the temple there. But they were serving other gods. And they were not only serving other gods, but the high priest and his priests and the prophets, as well as the political establishment, all of them, they would go into the temple, do what they had to do in there. They would have their feasts, they would do all the various things that they had to do, then they would run on out and serve these other gods and do drink offerings to them and everything else. So Jeremiah was sent to warn them. Of course, many of the prophets were sent to warn Israel. And of course, the Lord, when he is weeping over Jerusalem, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I have gathered you together as a mother hen her chicks, but you would have none of it. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And it was. And that's when, of course, Titus later on came in and invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the walls, and Josephus talks about this and says there was about a million, I think it was, of the Jews that died that day. Now, many of the Christians, though, remembered what the Lord had said when he was telling them in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 about what was coming. So they had left Jerusalem and actually escaped. And of course, there was a reason also that they left, because persecution started arising against them, because the Lord had told them, you know, that you shall go in Jerusalem and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And they had started in Jerusalem. They got kind of comfortable in there, so God stirred up the Jews against them. And, of course, they started scattering, and everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. So he says in verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto all them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Now see, this is specifically spoken, speaking to the watchmen, the prophets, and also to the preachers, the teachers, and even to Christians. You see, and the Lord touches on this in, when he's talking about that, you know. He says, do not fear what men will do unto you. And he goes further to say, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. So the Lord did bring these things up. Now, this is specifically given to Jeremiah, but it's also a warning to all the prophets when God gives them a word, or the priest, or even preachers, or watchmen today, or whatever, is that when God sends you to speak a word, believe me, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be a word of comfort. It's going to be a word of warning. It's time to wake up. He says, and speak unto them all that I command thee, and don't be dismayed, because they're not going to turn around and smile and slap you on the back and say, you know, gee, thanks, Jeremiah, I needed that. No, they're going to hate you. And, of course, Judah told Jeremiah that, you know, we're tired, and I'm paraphrasing here, tired of what you're saying, Jeremiah. Speak to us of good things. They didn't want to hear any more judgment. They were tired of hearing about Babylon. They were tired of hearing about their sins. They were tired. They were sick of it. And, of course, then the prophets, some of the false prophets would come around and say, well, don't listen to Jeremiah because he doesn't know what he's talking about. God is going to bless this city. It's going to continue to go on, and there will be no problem. Well, of course, that was a false prophet. He didn't know what he was saying. And, see, this is one of the main things here, you know, as a watchman and, you know, as a teacher, a Bible preacher, teacher, whatever, and even as a Christian, we're to speak the truth. We're not to be dismayed at people's faces. Now, of course, we want to come to them and we want to win them to the Lord. That's fine. But also Jude talks to us about this in the last part of his letter when he talks about some of them, we will need to save so as yet by fire, which means there's some of them that will not listen to you unless you get out the word and you preach the real truth to them. I mean, right in their face and dangle them over the hellfires themselves in order to try to get them to understand the truth and repent. Some, you know, you can have compassion on. They're willing to come. They just want forgiveness. And there's a lot of different ways to approach people. You need to read that in the last part of Jude. Nevertheless, for the prophet Jeremiah, God was sending him. He says, don't pay attention to what they're looking at you like. Because if you begin to do that, pay attention to them, then I'm going to confound you before. In other words, he's not going to have the same effect. He is going to lose face instead of being this stalwart prophet. For behold, I've made thee this day. Now he's speaking to Jeremiah. Now this is what the Lord does for his prophets that he sends. A defense city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. Now, did you see that? The princes, the priests, and the people. And that, when they say priests and the people, there he's referring to pretty much everybody in Israel, whether they're religious or non-religious, whether they're in the temple or not in the temple. Jeremiah was going to be like a defense city and an iron pillar and a brazen wall. They're not going to be able to penetrate him, in other words. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, see, he did wind up in jail. He did get persecuted. They did hate him. They did tell him to shut up. I mean, when God sends you, yes, you're going to encounter trouble. You're going to encounter people that oppose you. People are going to hate you. People are going to say things about you. And in this case, you know, Jeremiah definitely was thrown in prison, you know, and there's a lot of them that wanted to kill him. Make no mistake, you know, when God makes you a defense city and an iron pillar, it doesn't mean you're not going to be persecuted. You are going to face trouble. You're going to face persecution because you're dealing with humans that don't want to hear. And especially in this day and age, as a Christian, you need to know that just being a Christian is going to get people irritated at you. That's just the way it is. And they will despise those that are good. That's what Paul says of the end days. Now, in Jeremiah 4, 6 through 8, here we've got up another little set of scripture. Set up the standard towards Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring forth, bring evil from the north and great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his ways. That's because Babylon was very, very strong. But even Babylon fell by the time it was all over with at the end of 70 years. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate. Thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. Now see, this is talking about the great destruction and evil that's coming. Believe me, folks, you do not want the Lord mad at a nation and where he's going to bring evil. And I have preached judgment on this nation many, many times. And I have told you that America is going to fall. It is going to fall. America, as we know it, will cease to exist. And I don't mean just the political establishment. I just don't mean the way it is today. I mean, it's going to fall. And it'll never rise again, as far as I'm concerned. And there's still going to be people here. There's going to be other rulers. There's going to be other things going on. But they will never. America, as it once was in its greatness, will never, ever rise again. There will never be a super Muslim power in America like America was. And America can very well be overtaken by Islam or any other force that God determines. But see, this is the thing why America and the churches should be repenting right now. And on an ongoing basis, this is why when you do have a word of judgment, you should be repenting, because that is the key to easing the anger of the Lord. But see, Judah didn't believe him. And so Judah never repented. They just kept doing the things that they were. And so when you're inside of the city and you hear, the trumpet or the shofar go off, then you're going to know that there's an enemy outside the gate. And because you're living in the time of Jeremiah, you'll know what Jeremiah told you. So you're going to be afraid. You're going to know that it has finally come upon you. Now in Jeremiah 25, 9 through 12, this is another section from this same thing. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I'll take from the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of the millstones, and the light of the candle. Now, if you read in Revelation about the fall of mystery Babylon, you're going to read some of the same stuff that's put in there. Because all of this is going to be amplified in mystery Babylon, and mystery Babylon is going to fall. But, you know, what this talks about is simple. You know, you have Israel who knew the Lord and lived under the blessing of the Lord, and they turned away from the Lord and violated that covenant and that relationship. And so God brings them this judgment. Now make no mistake, this is about a righteous judgment. And people are going to die here. People did die. And when the Lord brings judgment upon a nation, you don't want that. You know, I mean, he doesn't mess around. When judgment comes upon a nation, it is absolutely unmitigated. It's going to happen. It's going to destroy. It's going to kill. And here he says, I'm going to remove all of that. You're not going to have the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. There aren't going to be no weddings anymore. They're going to be dead. It's going to be desolate. They're going to be slaves. The sound of the millstones, that's the factories and everything working. The light of the candle. you know, in the houses and stuff like that, the voice of gladness, joy, drinking, having fun, parties and things like that is all going to be gone. And this whole land shall be a desolation. Now see, of course, when we talk of Babylon back in the Old Testament, we talk about the fact that there is prophecy that talks about it never being inhabited again. And as we know, Babylon has been inhabited over all these years. So we believe that that's a double prophecy. It's going to come back and we're going to see Mystery Babylon, which is what it really reveals to, is going to be totally destroyed. And of course, when we get into the talking about what is Mystery Babylon, you know, and I've talked about, you know, the UK at one time was considered to be Babylon. And America, many people believe it to be Babylon. And, you know, when you look at Mystery Babylon and you read the chapter, and I recommend Revelation 17 and 18 together when you read them, you're going to find out that a lot of the things describing Mystery Babylon actually relates to America in our abundance. You know, the bottom line of it is that what we're talking about is a spirit which has thoroughly been entrenched in Babylon, Mystery Babylon. And so this spirit is in the nations as well. So it's not just in that. And when we talk of evil, there's a lot of evil, not just in America, but there's evil in Turkey, there's evil in North Korea, there's evil in many of the nations. And so they may not be doing the exact precise evil that America may be doing, but they're doing their own evil. And God is the judgment of all these things, and he's going to judge the nations. And we know very well, one of the major judgments that's going to be coming is God is going to bring the nations down to Jerusalem and judge them there. That's one of the biggest prophecies there is. And, of course, the other one is Ezekiel 38, which there's many people that are watching this in Israel now that Trump has made the announcement in Jerusalem, and we're going to talk about this next week. So it's very pertinent. There's things that are happening that we are right on the cusp of major, major prophecy. And it's not by accident that Trump was opposed such and he was still raised up. It's not by accident that Trump and the Democrats passed the tax thing. It's not by accident that he declared Jerusalem. In spite of everything that the world and the UN hated, Trump, the first president to actually come out and stand against virtually the world and even have his Nikki Haley, you know, his ambassador to the UN, tell them that America's taken names of all those that oppose them. And, of course, that includes taking away any aid that we're giving them as well. And it's about time we're doing it. But, see, all this would not have happened under Obama. It would not have happened under Clinton. It wouldn't even have happened under Bush, either of the Bushes, because they were globalists just like Obama was. They were a different type of globalists. Now, Trump in himself is a globalist, too. Because he has global stuff all around the world. He's dealt in Russia and a lot of other places. That doesn't mean, you know, that he can't be president or nothing. But the fact of the matter is God will use who he wants to use. And right now he used Trump to make that announcement on Jerusalem, because God's going to pull the nations down to Israel. And this is all judgment, folks, every bit of it. There's nothing you're going to do about it. And we're living in that time. And so when we talk about this in Jeremiah 25, we're talking about God just coming against Judah and using Babylon. Well, see, we're living in the end of days, and God is going to bring the nations, not just against Judah, but against the tiny state of Israel, but he's also going to bring them against America. When Israel gets attacked, you can, 9 times out of 10, if Israel gets attacked, America will get attacked. You can bank on it. Period. Something is going to happen. We're not going to sit here. We're in the midst of this. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and this nation, saith the Lord, for the iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. That's what we're talking about when we talk about prophecy. But the thing of it is that the king of Babylon, of course, after 70 years, this is exactly what Daniel saw when he was reading the book, and you can read this in Daniel. he was reading in the book, and he saw that 70 years had accomplished. So then that's when he started fasting and seeking the Lord about what this would really mean. And the Lord sent his angel and told him. And so Daniel himself read this because he knew it was 70 years. He had counted. And of course, Daniel was one of many that had been taken as a young kid to work in the court in Babylon, which was the custom. And of course, they learned the customs of Babylon, and they were able to relate it back to their own people to help their people, work better with Babylon, understand what's going on. Well, at any rate, the sound of the trumpet. So when we see the sound of the trumpet, or when we hear the sound of the trumpet, know that judgment is there. And that's surely what they did. And when we think about the days in which you and I live, we are living in very prophetic times. And it's, you know, you have to live every day as unto the Lord. You have to be thankful to the Lord. You have to really seek him. And, you know, you don't want to live in error against the Lord. You don't want to live in a way that's unpleasing to him. You have to make sure, as Paul said, if we have a good conscience towards God, then, you know, that's good. You know, your heart, if it condemns you not, you know that you have great confidence towards God, that you can go and you can approach him without any problems. Because make no mistake, the Spirit of God that are in the believers today will prompt you when, if you'll listen. You can quench the Spirit too. And, like Paul told, I think it was the Corinthians, he says, quench not the Spirit and despise not prophecies, prophesying. And of course, Corinth was full of the gifts and things. It was also in Corinth where the first church denominations were created. And we've taught on that too. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 2, we're going to go back a little bit, 19 through 21, it says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and upon and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. This was, two idols. Of course, these were Gentile idols. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? They sought other gods. And, of course, the Ashtaroth had set up their images in the groves, and there was Baal. And eventually Judah began sending their kids through fire. They sinned grievously. They would pour out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven, using the same offerings that they would give Jehovah God. The priests and the prophets both served these other prophets, as, these other gods as well. And see, the Lord had brought them out, you know. He had broke their bonds out of Egypt and set them free. And he brought them into a new land. He warned them at the time, they don't do what these other nations are doing. He warned them, and they did not listen after a while. Now, of course, when we find Israel first going into the land under the tutelage, the leadership of Joshua, they won. And of course, Caleb was there, and Caleb had his own inheritance, and they've actually took on the giants at that time, the Nephilim, their kin, and destroyed them. And of course, by the time you get to David, David became the warrior king and destroyed all the enemies round about them. And so you can find times in there that Israel really, really prospered and did real well under the hand of Jehovah God. And usually it centered around a leader. If the leader was proposed to serve Jehovah, then the people would But if they had someone like Jezebel and her old man that served other gods, then the people followed them. And of course, that doesn't mean everybody followed them, but pretty much they were sold out to this. And of course, their fruits came back to them, and that's what he says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee." That's the fruits of, you know, of your doing. And this has not changed, even for Christians today. Whatsoever thou sowest, that's what you're going to reap, period. And God knows, it says, you know, that God is not fooled. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, and we can play this little, you know, God, forgive me today, and you're going to go do it tomorrow, and then you do it again. You spend the rest of your life just, you know, confessing, not really meaning to repent, just, you know, make you feel good, and away you go. See, God is going to judge these things, O people. And, of course, then when we get into a nation, now, of course, one of the biggest things you run into today, you know, is that America, you know, and the nations are not like Israel. You know, we're not a theocracy where God's at the head. And, you know, we talk about a democracy. That was a theocracy. God is in charge. He's at the head. And of course, you know, and I've said this before, too, you know, Israel was judged twice, really. And that was once on the northern kingdom, Israel, and once on the southern kingdom, Judah. And, of course, there was a lot of minor judgments, but that was the major judgments. However, God destroyed many more Gentile nations than he did his own people. And he did that because of their sins. So make no mistake, biblically speaking, the Gentile nations and the nations of men have better understand that this God will intervene and he will judge and he will bring nations down. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't really matter. It will happen. And so, you know, these are the things that the world really does not want to pay attention to. The world doesn't want to go there when they, you know, they want to kind of forget it. You know, they don't want to believe that, you know, God is going to judge us. And that's about the way it goes, you know. You have to understand that this God will. Make no mistake. And yeah, and that's why, you know, the key here is repenting. Of course, for Christianity, it's repenting, you know. Why wouldn't you repent and find redemption? But yet, people won't. The very same scripture that tells us about salvation, that God sent his only begotten Son, John 3:16, you follow the context down, and it also tells you that many people won't come because they love darkness more than light. And see, this is exactly where we're at today. And so we are living in a time when the nations do say, you know, hey, we're tired of the Lord God. We're tired of this Bible thing. We're tired of the Christians. We're tired of everything that they're doing. You know, we don't believe all this stuff, and we want to go our own way. And that's exactly what they do. You know, and be warned. You know, God is going to do some things, and Israel is going to be attacked, and the right thing to do is to back Israel, and I'm all for it. Whether you are or not doesn't make a bit of difference to me, but you should be, as a Christian, be for the fact that the Jews have a right to Jerusalem, period. But see, you know, we've got plots by the sons of Ishmael, and the sons of Ishmael have always hated the Jews, and they've hated the other people of the book, the Christians. And we have history in this hatred worldwide. So the end time, it's going to be the sons of Ishmael against the sons of Isaac, which include the Jews and the Christians. Did you know the Jews and the Christians are out of the sons of Isaac? We're all out of the same one. Did you know that? Did you ever think about that? Except we found the Messiah. Some of the Jews have not found the Messiah, but we are of the sons of the promise, the son of the promise, which is Isaac. And Ishmael is not the son of the promise by any way, shape, or form. There's no way that he is that. And the Muslims think he is, but he's not. This is what it's going to be. This actually comes as also reminds us of Cain and Abel. One, you know, was righteous and the other was evil. And the evil one slew the righteous one. So this is really what it's coming down to. This is time for you to pay attention and understand. You're living in exciting times. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, bless your people. Help them to understand it. Give them ears to hear so that they may hear. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Now, Tower is going to come back, and we're going to do some chatting here because this is a special edition. We're coming into the Christmas holiday weekend, and we want to chat a little bit with you, and then we are going to wish you a good holiday, whether you want one at this time or not.
Well, that sounds good. I hope they all want to have a good day, whether they celebrate or not. I'm sure they do.
Well, at any rate, I'm always amazed every time I go through this how much it's relates to us.
I know. Today.
Yeah.
Day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing new under the sun.
No. And, you know, when you look at prophecy and how this is going, a lot of people don't understand how prophetic and how this is, the Jerusalem Declaration. And we'll really see how far this goes. You know, sometimes things like this happen, and it's not the real key. But, you know, from looking at everything and the reaction, this looks like the real deal here. So we'll... I can tell you that, you know, years ago, Marzulli and I used to talk about a lot of these things in the Middle East and Turkey and the Hashemite kingdom always came up. And of course, you know, Turkey was the place of the Ottoman. They had huge properties, but... and I've talked about this, too. There was actually a number of great Muslim empires as well, not just the Ottomans. So, you know, now we're living in one of this time where the Muslims are actually looking to take over the world. And Europe, for all intents and purposes, every person that I read that has anything as far as impetus on knowledge are saying that Europe is gone, period. And so Europe has been lost. It's going to be Muslim, period. You know, unless something really happens there, there might be pockets that they don't have, but it don't look good. In America, under Obama for 8 years, this whole thing really looked like he was trying to do the same thing. So we are definitely in perilous times.
Unfortunately, but our hope is in the Lord, not in this world.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, look at how many presidents never declared the Jerusalem thing.
I know.
You can go all the way back to 1948. There's not one of them, not one American president that said that. Trump is the first one, and the reason they didn't back in 48 on forward is because Jerusalem wasn't in the hands of the Jews. It wasn't until the Seven-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, rather, and that they went into Jerusalem and took Jerusalem back. And the 67, I think that's what that was. That's if I got my war. Yeah, that's if I've got my Jewish wars all straightened out. But at any rate, if I don't, you can look it up. And of course, then from that time forward, the Jews didn't declare it to be the capital because there was still a lot of Arab opposition. And then, of course, over the time, America had indeed passed the resolution that that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, but no president enforced it. Not until Trump. And, of course, Obama wasn't going to.
Oh, of course not. He did not like, he does not like Israel or the Jewish people.
Yeah. And so I don't really know how this thing is going to play out as far as, you know, if Trump ever gets out of there, are they going to be able to turn this thing back and go back the other way? They could very well do that. But you beware. If America starts going against Israel, it's going to be worse for us.
Oh, it will. It will be not a good thing at all.
So that's just all there is to that, you know. And that's the unfortunate thing.
Well, I don't think that the United States, something is either going to happen to the United States or they're going to turn against Israel, because it says in the Bible that every nation will turn against Israel. So either America's going down and it's not there, or something else will happen.
Well, he said he would bring the nations down. And, you know, when we see the nations, we normally think of this, you know, the powers that be. But if you look at the United Nations, they're the nations. And we also know from the tribulation that there will be people left in the nations that went against Israel. The Bible says there is. The nations of them that are left, you can get into Zechariah the chapter 14, they're to go up to Jerusalem to celebrate tabernacles. So, you know, there's some very important things here that it doesn't have to mean that America themselves goes against Israel, but that America is tied up in the midst of that. And if we're in the midst of a civil war here and things happen here, we're not going to go against them. And there might be certain forces from America that do go against them, but there could be certain American forces that wouldn't go against them, that would fight with Israel. So this is really one of these prophecies that, you know, I mean, from Israel's standpoint, they're looking at Ezekiel 38 in Russia. And of course, we're going to talk about this more next week on our Thursday broadcast, Global Prophecy Outlook. And so you don't want to miss that next week. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Don't forget to check out, if you like a good mystery, a good thriller, a good Christian book, then you're going to love the book Steal the Darkness. It's book one in a four-book series. This one is 300 pages long, and it's a thick read. It's a good read. It's an easy read.
It's a fast read. Yeah. Easy, fast read.
So we think that you'll like it. Check it out. You can get it in paperback. You can also get it in Kindle. You can get it in Nook. So it's on Barnes & Noble, and it's on Amazon. It's on Ingram, which is Ingram is available in every, just about every bookstore there is has a thing to order books from Ingram. They're the world's largest book distributors. So check this out, Steal the Darkness. And you can find it over on our websites, links to all of these things. And also, don't forget, of all the places that we've been putting this out, this show, we've got a lot of the things now on the front of warn-usa.com, and you'll see it. Just scroll down till you see the player there. And there's all kinds of links there, and you can find the Warn Radio app from there. You can find a lot of links to the many places that are carrying this and broadcasting it out for us. So we do have quite a list there, and there's many that aren't listed because of all the other places. Those are just some of the major ones. So other than that, Tower and I, you know, wish you the best, don't we, Tower?
Yes, Yes, we do. For a very blessed holiday season, Christmas, and that the new year will be filled with many blessings for you as you draw closer to the Lord.
Yes, and this year seems to have gone by fast. Our show last night was a 3-hour one, and we went over 2017, so be sure to check that out. You know, Tower and I have been living this end time thing for a lot of years, and so we sincerely hope that you're seeking the Lord and you're ready for Him, and know that it's not all judgment. It is blessing in the Lord. The Lord is good, and to the righteous I say, you will eat the fruit of your doings, for the Lord knows them that are His. Okay? You look to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will make a way for you. You know, and you need to be praying for your family, praying for those friends of yours, and believe in God, and wake up every day with faith, believing. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to keep you to the uttermost. And we are living in perilous, perilous times.
But
so
have no fear. The Lord is near.
Well, you know, you and I have thought that for many, many years. And there is something about this that you always feel, believe deep inside that it's just right around the corner. And the Spirit stirs you, you know. And you think, oh, wow, it's right there. And back in the, you know, 80s and 90s, you know, we thought it was bad then.
Yeah, and now it's just even more bizarre. Crazy.
And it's a lot more bizarre than you and I could ever have thought.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because I would have never imagined a lot of this stuff going on, nor would I want to.
Well, you know, let's look back in the 70s, you know, when we were married and starting out. There's a lot of things they're doing today that you and I would never have entered into our mind that they would be doing.
That's for sure.
You know, and it just boggles the mind, you know, today, what men are trying to do with technology and robots and all this other stuff.
The perversion.
Yeah, the perversion. It's beyond the pale, you know.
It is.
What other generation on earth has ever done this? None that we know of. And, of course, Daniel wrote about that. Knowledge shall increase, and men shall go to and fro in the earth. And we've been doing that for a long time. But now knowledge is beyond the pale. Now we're, you know, they're able to put a head on a person. They're able to do so much. It's just like, you know, is there anything these people aren't going to be able to do?
And because of that knowledge, they've turned away from the Lord. They think that they know more than the Lord. They're greater than the Lord.
Well, you know, they do. And they're also looking at, like you and I've talked, you know, and I researched this out a number of years ago, a lot of years ago. There were people then that was trying to figure out how to get their spirit and their mind and their soul, who they were, you know, into a machine so that they could live forever.
Oh, dear God.
And I was on websites where they were practicing technology to figure out how to give the impetus of a human being their spirit, soul, into that machine.
Oh, that is creepy.
It is creepy, isn't it? And, you know, it's just like,
turn to the Lord and quit rejecting Him. They would have a better life. They wouldn't be seeking all these other things.
And I also want to say thank you to all of you who watch our videos on Vimeo. I want to thank all of you who listen to all of the audio, the 3-hour audios, or the segments that are scattered throughout Blueberry and Spreaker and iTunes and just tune in, and just many, many of them. We want to thank all of you who read the articles that come to the websites. We want to thank all of you who are friends of ours on Twitter and on Facebook and the many social places. We also want to thank all of you who are partners, who help us throughout the years, who have been faithful to help us to ease the cost, to meet the cost, to keep this word going out. There are people, and to you, our heartfelt thanks and blessing. We don't get into crying for anything on this. You know, God has provided for us. But you'll always hear me telling you that you need to be supporting those ministries that are helping the poor. But there are people who help us financially. And to those, you know, you have helped alleviate the burden, helped us to carry it. We thank all of you who pray for us. And we thank you this time of year. We give you our goodwill. The angel said, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And tonight we give you our peace, we give you our goodwill, and our blessings. And may God keep you. And we're going to close the show. Have a good weekend and a good holiday.
Thank you, everybody, for all you do for the kingdom, for the King of Kings. We appreciate you. We truly love you. May God bless you richly.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.